Because we heard today from Deuteronomy, God has just given the people of Israel all the laws in the Torah, the Ten Commandments and all the instructions about how they're supposed to live as a people. And God says to the people of Israel, I have given you these laws so that you might live, so that you might have this land that I have promised to you, that you might prosper in it and pass it on to your children. And God says, so I'm giving you a choice. You can choose to follow the laws I give you and live, or you can choose to go your own way and die. God says to them, choose life. But what you're saying is, in the midst of addiction, you didn't have that choice. That power had been taken from you. And the other thing you said a little bit earlier is, when you recognized that you were in the throes of this addiction, you immediately felt this shame. And that shame prevented you from reaching out and asking other people for help. Which, right, if you're recognizing that you yourself don't have the power to choose, then you need someone else to make that choice for you. But because of your fear of how you'd be perceived, you didn't want to reach out to make that choice.
Right.
And I think that's part of why what Jesus talks about in today's gospel lesson is so important. We're continuing on the Sermon of the Mount, and Jesus is explaining to people. He says, you know, you've all heard before that you shouldn't commit murder and you shouldn't commit adultery. But Jesus says, I want to expand how you understand those things. Jesus says, if in your heart you are angry at someone, Jesus says, you have committed murder and are liable to that same judgment. And Jesus says, if you look at someone with lust, you have committed adultery. And when we hear those words, those should be shocking, right? To say, I haven't stabbed anyone, I haven't slept with anyone, but Jesus says, no, you still have this sin. And when we hear those words, I think it's important for us to hear those as words that are meant to humble us. To say, we can't go around and say, well, just because I haven't done this or this, that means I'm without sin. Jesus is saying, no, in fact, you are a sinner also. And may we hear those words so that when we encounter other people who are struggling with sin in their lives, we might be humble enough to receive their confession with compassion and help instead of judgment. All right, so you recognize you're in this place where you don't actually have control over your life. You're too ashamed to ask for help. It sounds to me like you're stuck. How do you get unstuck?
Well, after all the destruction that happened, you know, my brother showed up, and I found a place at a recovery house. And then I had an invitation from a friend to go to East Avenue Church. There was this restraining order that happened with my son. The most important thing in my life all of a sudden wasn't there. I felt like I had nothing, and my friend invited me to East Avenue Church, and that was where, through that invitation, I accepted Christ as my Savior and actually began, he had already begun before I was born, but I began my journey with Christ.
Yeah. Okay, because I want to savor just a moment what you said. What you said is, even though you weren't able to ask for help, your brother saw that you needed it and showed up without you asking. And your family helped get you into a rehab place.
Yeah, I didn't want anybody.
You don't want to go.
I didn't want to go, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So they got you into rehab because they saw that you needed help that you couldn't ask for. But then what you also describe is that even though you were raised here in Faith Lutheran, there was another church at that moment in your life where you needed to go to find that relationship with Jesus. And that's what Paul talks about in the scriptures today, right? Paul is writing to the people of Corinth, and the people in Corinth, some of them have said, look, we learned about Jesus from Paul, and some of them say, we learned about Jesus from Apollos, and they're fighting with each other because they're saying, Paul is better, no, Apollos is better. And Paul says, what does it matter? Paul says, look, I planted a seed, Apollos watered the seed, but it's God who gave the spiritual growth. To God goes the glory. So I want to say just right now that I'm thankful for the seed that Faith Lutheran planted, and I'm grateful for the way that East Avenue Church watered that seed, but I want to give all glory to God for that relationship that you have today with Jesus. And now I want to ask, you say you accepted Jesus into your life.
Yes.
How did that change you?
Well, it's an interesting thing that happens. I began to see the world with new eyes. I began to understand myself and to accept that things were the way they were and that maybe I couldn't do it by myself. And so I began following this Jesus guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you started following Jesus, did you stop using drugs?
Well, I had this profound understanding that God was real and that I wanted to follow God forever. No. And I don't recommend this for anybody, but I decided to test the waters. I had in my head this thing that said, everybody said, well, you know, I don't know how you do it. You use every once in a while. And we are not like that. And I was like, oh, well, I'm different. So I decided, well, why couldn't I sometimes use? I mean, people drink every once in a while. So I tried it, and the instantaneous moment when I was high, I didn't care about God. I absolutely was in some hysteria, and I was like, oh, I don't care about God. And I kept saying it and repeating it and repeating it and repeating it.
Wow.
Didn't care.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
It's just a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, right, I think for a lot of people, like you say, a lot of people just drink alcohol on occasion, and there is this sense of like, well, if I'm doing this in my own home and it's not hurting anyone, what does it matter? And perhaps when we hear Jesus' words in the gospel lesson today, where he says, if you're angry at someone, you're basically killing them, and if you're lusting after someone, you're basically committing adultery. And we might think to ourselves, well, if we're not hurting anyone, what does it matter if we're having these thoughts to ourselves? But what you describe is that in that moment of using, in that moment of being high, suddenly this God whom you had learned loved you, suddenly that God didn't matter to you anymore, and that your heart, instead of being filled with God, was just completely consumed with this drug. And I can't help but think maybe that's what Jesus is talking about in our gospel lesson, this idea that if we are hating someone or if we're angry with someone, our heart, instead of being open to receiving God in our lives, has filled that space instead with our anger. And that if we're lusting after someone, and I want to make a distinction between noticing, hey, that person's a beautiful person, right? And lust, which is saying, that person I want to use as an object for my personal gratification, right? To say, in that moment of when we take someone and we turn them into an object of desire, that fills the place in our heart that we might otherwise have room for to welcome God in there. And today in Deuteronomy, God says, choose life, and I give you all these laws so that you may live. But what Jesus is reminding us is that life, it comes from God. And if we use our heart and fill it with things that are not God, we lose out on life. Sounds like that's the realization you had the last time you used.
Yeah.
Yeah. When was that, out of curiosity?
That was 3/11 of 2017.
So nearly 3 years ago.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So let me ask, that's the last time you used. Presumably, your life started to change at that point. Was it all perfect after that?
No. No. What I found out was I was filled with all these other things. You know, I had this fear. I had dishonesty. I had resentment.
Yeah.
I resented. It's such an interesting thing to think about. I resented the people that couldn't just get on board, that I had quit finally. And why couldn't they just, you know, we could just go on with life, and why would they feel anything different about me? Because I'm done now.
Yeah. So, interesting. So you've quit, and you've told people you've quit, but you're noticing people are still responding and maybe not trusting you.
Yeah.
Because you've hurt them.
Yeah.
And you're resenting the fact,
yeah,
that they're holding on to the hurt that you've given them.
Yeah.
How did you move past that resentment?
Well, God gave me this opportunity to forgive And I found that through forgiveness, when I truly forgave, that this joy was in my heart and this resentment was gone. And that through that process, that I found that it was instantaneous. I knew that God had forgiven me before I was born, and that I had this mechanism to forgive myself, and that that I could, forgiving others means that there's another thing that I could do.
What's that other thing?
To ask for forgiveness.
For yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
My understanding, Franklin, is that's actually why you are here today, to ask for forgiveness.
Yes. I wrote this part out because it's really important that I say what I'm going to say to everyone, because you are my family and you are really important to me. So one of the things that I learned when I started worshiping God was that that if we do things for the glory of God, that it's a form of worship. And when I started cleaning the church, this church and East Avenue Church, so I'll just give this little quick story. I was vacuuming, and I realized that when I was cleaning up and getting the debris away, that even the debris like that was, you know, I was thinking about it as, well, people can come and have a free and clear path to come and worship Jesus and have a spiritual experience and vacuuming like that. So I'm here to claim and acknowledge my sin. I'm here to acknowledge that I hurt my son, my brother, Julio, Aiden, Gabriel, Cindy, Mommy, Poppy, my son's mom, Christine, and there's a large list of people and some that are here from the school that I worked at. And the congregation, you people that grew me up that are my family, you guys are so important to me. And all those that are listening that can't be here, I'm here to remove any doubt that there was in any way that any of you were at fault. This was completely and totally my choice to use drugs. I want to be clear about that. Especially for you, son, it's important. And for you, brother, that while I did start drinking and smoking pot, I understand you had an exit plan, and I didn't, but it wasn't your fault that I started. That was my choice. I'm asking for forgiveness, not so that I could feel better. My confession is my gift. But so that all of you could have freedom of hearing me acknowledge that the ways in which I hurt you are my fault. Hopefully naming that truth will allow space in your heart that may have otherwise had pain or resentments towards me, so that you may be filled with God's joy, so that I am not the debris that when you come to worship that I might block you in any kind of way from having this experience with Christ. I do not want to be anyone's debris. I worked through the biblical steps with a sponsor, the 12 steps, 12-step recovery through that of Jesus Christ. I'm here to help anyone that I can. Maybe you're struggling with drugs or alcohol, or somebody in your family is, and maybe you want to talk to somebody that went through it that might be able to say something to you. I'm here to talk. I'm here. And if there is something that I can do specifically on an individual basis for forgiveness, I'm here for that as well. Acknowledging my sin, and I'm here. That's this congregation is my family, and I hurt part of the congregation, and I definitely would have certain feelings maybe if my family is being hurt. So I'm Like I said, I'm not here to make it better. I'm here to make it right.
Thank you, Franklin. And I want to reiterate what you said when you were confessing there, which is to say, you're confessing not because you want to feel better
right.
about what you've done, but because you recognize that there may be people who, when they see you, suddenly their heart is filled with anger or resentment because of the hurt that you have caused. And maybe they don't trust that you're aware of that. And so they have to hold on to that anger to be protecting the people they care about. And what you're saying is you want to take responsibility for what you did in hopes that that allows people to let go of what they're holding on to so that their hearts can have more room to welcome Jesus in their life.
Yes.
First of all, thank you for doing that. And second of all, to say, I cannot speak for anyone in this congregation. Their relationship with you will have to be between the two of you and God. But what I can say is that in our gospel lesson, Jesus today says, as you're taking your gift to the altar, if you realize that someone who is a sibling in Christ has something against you, before you go to the altar, make peace with that person. And the reason, I think, is this. It's what we've talked about this whole time, which is to say, our source of life is God. And when we open our hearts fully to God, we experience that life in fullness. But when we have something else consuming our hearts, be it drugs, or be it lust, or anger, or resentment, we close off to God, and slowly that kills us. And so what you are doing here today is giving the congregation the opportunity to make peace with you if they need to. And every Sunday, before we have communion, before we come to our altar, we have a time in which we share peace with one another. And sometimes it feels like that's a time to say hello to your friends. But that's not what it's for. It's a time to say, hey, when I go to communion, is there someone that I need to talk to unburden what's in my heart? Not a full conversation, just a word of peace, so that I can go and receive Jesus fully with nothing in my way. Franklin, you have explicitly given the congregation the opportunity to do so if they need to with you. But it is a reminder that we have that opportunity to do so with each other each and every other week. And so I want to thank you for your courage to name your sin, for your humility in confessing it, and for giving us the opportunity.
You know, God is hidden in the humility that God created this all things, and that somehow God hid himself in the humility. It's amazing. It really is.
It is indeed.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Franklin. Let's give him a round of applause. And I invite you to join me as you are able in standing and singing.